Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 419. We started a brand new franchise. We're starting the Liam Neeson Taken franchise. I mean, it's been ages. We've been talking about it, and now we finally are doing it. So with that said, we're going to start it all off with the 2008 hit Taken. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. So what are your thoughts? Did you see this in the theater?
I did. I saw this in the theater. I went with a friend of mine. I specifically remember we went to watch this because if I remember correctly, this was like a big hit. It was like everyone was going to see Taken. It was like, oh my gosh, he's Taken. It was like came out of nowhere. And I've always went to the movies a lot, but I don't think I saw this like opening weekend. I think I saw it like the second week. I was like, all right, well, let's go see what this Taken movie is about. So I saw it in the theater, and I'm not going to lie to you, Alex. I don't think I've watched it since. This is not a movie that I rewatch. So when I was watching it now, I'm just going to say this. I feel differently about this movie now than when I saw it at the theater. I have a different opinion, and that's all. I was 21 when this came out, 21 years old. So totally different mindset. Have seen a different amount of movies between then and now. So I did see that at the theater, and I liked it. I liked it a lot when I saw it at the theater.
I saw this on, was it Blu-ray? I think it's Blu-ray, 2008. Yeah, I think it's Blu-ray. Saw it on Blu-ray. I didn't go to see it in the theater. And I'm with you on that one. When I first saw it, I thought it was really good. I said, wow, this is a pretty good movie. I have not seen this movie. I haven't seen, let's just put it this way. 1, 2, and 3 were first time watches. Like when I say first time watches, is like me putting it on now is like first time watches because I don't put these movies on often. And we'll explain
I saw Taken, I didn't see Taken 2 in the theater. The first time I watched it was at home and the only time I've watched it. And I saw Taken 3 at the theater and I haven't seen it since. So I'm with you. Like, this is not like a go-to franchise for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So I was just like, oh my God, I didn't remember this scene. I didn't remember that scene. So I was like, oh, but it does change because at the time of 2008, I didn't have a daughter. Now I have two daughters. Oh, so it hit kind of different watching this movie now. So it's going to be pretty cool talking about it during the storyline.
You didn't have no kids when the first one came out.
No, I didn't.
16 years. You had no children.
Nope. Yeah. Wow. So now it's kind of different. Yeah, it hits different. So anyway, with that said, let's talk about some box office numbers here because you did say it's a hit. Yeah. And it was. On a $25 million budget, this grossed $226 million. So, I mean, at this time, if it came out now, it would be like 400 plus if you look at it. It would be double that. So any surprises there?
No. Well, surprising in the sense of like this was a brand new movie. It wasn't a franchise. Liam Neeson, by the way, was not known as an actor. This is the movie that turned him into an action star, you know, his later career. He had done dramas to this. He had done, he did big movies like Narnia. He was like the voice of the lion and stuff like that. I believe Narnia came out before 2000. But, you know, he had done Schindler's List. That's like a drama. Yeah. You know what I mean? And all these other movies, he had done some action. Because I know like in the 80s, he was like in Next of Kin. But he wasn't this. I feel like Taken is the movie that made the Liam Neeson movie, which we've covered a number of them. You know what I mean? But this is the one that put him on the map as that.
I totally agree with you. I never noticed him as an action movie star. Now he is considered an action movie star. I mean, that's all he does now. I mean, if you're good at something, you just continue going. Ride the waves, baby. Just ride the waves. That's what I say.
Jose, I'm excited to see him play in that. What's the one that he's doing? The Naked Gun or whatever. Just to see him do something different.
He's playing Detective Frank Drebin.
Yeah, he's the main star, which I'm excited for because I would like to see him do something other than be old and shoot people. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of funny, right? Because the original actor's name is Leslie Nielsen, and this guy is Liam Neeson.
Yeah, so like, you change a couple of letters around, and they're the same guy.
Pretty much. I mean, I never seen him as a comedian, like that comedic, a slapstick. So it's going to be interesting.
It might work.
It might. I guess maybe with the tone of, because his raspy voice and we all know him as an action star, it might work.
Like, what if he thinks he's like a very serious cop, but then all this goofy stuff's happening? It could be funny.
That would be funny. All right. So anyway, with that said, what did the critics and audience think about Taken?
All right. Well, this has a pretty interesting, they're both positive. So this is a fresh movie, certified fresh. However, it is barely fresh with one and highly fresh with the other. I think you know which one is which. Critics score 60%. Just meets the fresh standard, 60%, but audience scores 85%. So this speaks to what we were talking about. It was a big hit. I remember in 2008, people telling me, you gotta see Taken.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's, you know, like, it's crazy. It is, you know, it's so good. That's all I heard every all the time. It's so good. You gotta see it. I was like, all right, fine. I'll see this stupid movie. So anyway, yes, 85 with the audiences is not surprising. 60 with the critics. Also not that surprising, to be honest.
I mean, it's a little surprised
movie, you know, like he produced it. It's very European. It has European feel.
Well, I thought in terms of the topic at hand, I thought the critics would be a little bit higher, like 65-ish. Because it's kind of a little drama besides of a big action, you know, movie thing, right? Guy's daughter gets kidnapped and he has to now go find his daughter. Like, I thought the critics would go nuts for it. But the audience, I kind of thought the audience score would be that high at the 80 bracket. But okay, well, let's get right into this with the lead character, Liam Neeson, as Brian Mills.
Okay. I need to say something real quick. By the way, before this movie, I just went to his IMDb page. He did a bunch of stuff you've never seen, I promise you. And then the only big stuff, Chronicles of Narnia, where he hears a voice. Batman Begins, of course, where he played Ra's al Ghul. And then literally
Qui-Gon
drama.
Jin? Huh? Qui-Gon Jinn, was that after?
Yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn, that was 99. So that was a big movie, but like, he was in Gangs of New York. So like, he was in a lot of stuff. But he was not the lead action guy until 2008. So anyway, I'm sorry. Lead character, Brian Mills. That's the name, Brian Mills?
Yeah, Brian Mills.
All right, Brian Mills. I give him a 5. I do like this. I do like this character. I won't lie. It's a great character for him, especially. I like when he's talking with the daughter and she's like, what was your job? And he's like, I was a preventer. She's like, well, what did you prevent? And he's like, bad things from happening. I was like, that's all you need to know. You know, they give you enough. And I do think they give you enough backstory to be with the character, right? You know, he has an ex-wife. Their interactions let you know why their marriage fell apart. Like, some of the writing's honestly pretty good. Like, we're talking action movie writing here. It informs you of what you need to know. He has a bad relationship with his ex-wife because of his job. His job gave him a very special set of skills. His daughter, he wants to have a good relationship with her, so he got out of his job so he can live nearby in a little sketchy apartment. You know, I think they give you enough that when she gets kidnapped, you are like, oh, baby, this guy's gonna. And I love the relentlessness of it. I love him figuring out who did it. I like the stuff with the French guy that used to be like, that's his friend that is actually, I mean, he's corrupt, but he's not like evil per se, but he turns a blind eye. He's one of those like, well, I don't know what's going on and I just keep my nose out of it. He's like, piece of crap. He shoots his wife. That's when I gave him a 5. He's like, it's a flesh wound, she'll be fine, give me the information. I love it. I do think it's a great character, I'm not gonna lie. So I gave him a 5, and I think Liam Neeson's really good in the role because he's a good actor. He's coming from, you know, like we said, dramas, you know, stuff like that. He can act and he's huge. I believe him. He was not old yet, you know, like I believe he'll jack some of these dudes up. He's a big guy. So I gave him a 5. I think Brian Mills, cool character.
I agree with you. You said everything. This guy's loyal, a little bit of a what's it called? Detention disorder. What's it called? OCT? ADD. He has very big ADD. Everything has to be precise when he's packing the wrapping. He went to get the karaoke machine. So it gives you a lot of information within the 10 minutes of what type of character he is. Like the guy is like, hey, for every dollar you came into the store, like he just kept harping on this karaoke for his daughter, her birthday. And I was like, man, I was like, this is crazy. But when there's a guy, he has to have a great group of friends. And his boy, Sam, Casey, and my boy, what was the other one? Bernie. The three dudes that were his partners.
Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Wasn't that Sean from Martin? You ever seen the TV show Sean Martin?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love
it. With Martin Lawrence? Isn't that Sean?
The guy who, I'll look it up. You keep going.
Oh, okay. I like his group of friends. I think the group of friends help a little bit on the movies because when he needed help, that one guy helped him out, like tracking his daughter and gave him all the information. I'm like, okay, that's fucking cool. I don't care what anyone says. That's dope. But Brian Mills, you're right. His skill set is so good, semi-ish believable, I will say, because some of the stuff that he was pulling off and doing, I was like, yo, okay, but it worked for this movie very well, and I liked it a lot. I mean, the iconic scene, it's now etched in everyone's fucking mind, is when he's on the phone and the guy's listening.
He is Sean, like, from Martin, by the way.
He is?
He was in 54 episodes.
Yeah, Sean. That's Sean. Yeah, yeah. When he, he was mad funny at yeah. Sean. But yeah, I love that. I mean, that's the most famous scene. He grabs the phone and the guy's hearing him, and he hears the breathing, and he goes, so, if you could hear this, listen to me very clearly. Yep.
It's such a good, like, people would memorize it, you know?
Yes.
I have a very special set of skills, and it makes me a nightmare for men like you. And blah, blah, blah. People know the whole thing. It's great.
And he's like, I will find you, and I will kill you. And he's like, good luck. And he smashes in. I said, oh, man. But it gives you chills. But the thing that worked, and I don't know if you agree with me, we don't do much camera work, and we don't do much cinematography talking and on these action stuff. But for some reason, this movie, the point of the first person point of view, looking directly at the camera, and you see their motions go off. Like when Kim is getting kidnapped and the camera's right in front of him, and you see his eyes getting watery, he's getting angry. Then you see Kim's first part, like it did the Silence of the Lambs. You know how they did look directly at the camera? Like I never noticed that with this movie, that they look directly at the camera to see their expressions. And you saw it with Kim. You saw it with Amanda, you know, when Amanda got, when she's laying on the bed. Like, I thought that was really, I was like, holy crap. Like, that was so genius because it brought out a lot of Brian Mills, like those things. And I will say this before we go off. Lenore, which was played by Frank Kim Johnson. Great. So hot. Gorgeous. What a bitch. Oh, she's a bitch, dude. Oh my God. Oh,
she is. She knew. Isn't she? She knew they were going on the YouTube. You know, she lied. Just tell the truth. I agree with you. I think she looks amazing in this movie.
No,
and
no,
it
she
makes
does.
Me mad because it's like, damn, you're so beautiful, but you really are a liar, and you never tell the truth. And she's like, put the presents on the table. Shut up. That's her dad. Let him give her the present. Like, yeah. I agree with you. She's an annoying character.
She is. And then the thing that got me really mad, and I wish they put it in the script, but they did not, is when she got kidnapped and she's crying, like, bring her back. I was like, didn't I tell you why I did not want to sign these papers? This is what was going
to
happen.
I was waiting for him to say, I told you.
Yeah. Now I got to do my set of skills.
He took the high road. He was like, he just didn't say nothing. I would have said it.
No, I would have. Oh,
like, I told your ass she was going to get kidnapped. You idiot.
Yep. Yeah. All I had to do was stay in Paris and watch over her. This would never happen.
But Lenny. No. Stupid Lenny.
Call me Lenore. Shut up, Lenore.
When they go to that lunch, I was like, oh, okay. She's at lunch. I would buy her a cheeseburger.
Anyway, Ellen, Maggie Grace was great as the daughter. After she fit a little bit annoying with the crying, but
I gotta say something.
Uh-oh, good.
And this is gonna come up, and if I remember correctly, it's gonna come up in Taken 2 as well. What? Oh, okay, she's supposed to be 17, and she plays this role like she's like kind of dumb. She's like, Daddy. She's always running. Why is she running all the time? She runs over to her friend. She runs to her parents. She runs to the pony. She runs. Nobody runs everywhere they go. She doesn't walk in this movie ever. She runs away from lunch. She runs. I'm like, girl, what? She's like 10. So I don't think she's a bad actress, but I don't know what direction they gave her to act at least 6 years younger than she actually is. She's supposed to be 17. And she's literally, Daddy. She's running around. I'm like, no, it bothers me.
She could be like a teeny bopper, like one of those, like,
yeah, maybe, but like even that, it's like, okay, that's like usually 13 year old, not a 17 year old. I get why they couldn't make her 13. That would make this movie really extremely dark. So, I mean, it already kind of is, but that would take it to the next level. But at the same time, it's like, can you act 17 a little bit? Like, she's acting like a little kid most of the time. So it bothers me. And I think she does the running thing in part two. We'll see. But so why are you running everywhere? And she runs weird, too. She runs like, she like waves her arms like this. I don't know.
It bothers me. Oh, my God. You're really angry at that. Okay. Yeah. Well, 5 across the board there. Okay. Now, the main villains here is weird because you have
the Albanians.
Marco. Yeah, you got the Albanians and then Marco something from the Larabaski, the Risky.
Yeah, okay. So the so you got the Albanians, you know, but just that's like just Albanians. a group.
Yeah,
of
just
people,
put the
right?
Albanians.
Yeah, but there's also Saint Clair. That's the French cop. No, the French cop is
Saint Clair. That's him.
Saint Clair is the French cop helps him look up Saint Clair. Saint Clair is Jean Claude. Yeah. Saint Clair is the guy at the party who's like, yes. It's his business.
Yeah, he shot him. He goes, this is personal.
Yeah, so he's kind of like the head of the operation.
Yeah.
Marco is like
Anton,
the guy right under him. And then you have that nasty fat chic guy at the end who's laying in the bed all gross. I give the villains a 4.
Mm.
I think they're evil. Obviously, what they're doing is evil. The only reason it's not a 5 is because there's like, I mean, you hear us talking about it. There's like a bunch of guys. And there's no, like, if they could have made this into a, like, let's say St. Clair. Let's say he is the main villain. And they could have made it more like him and Brian Mills, like, him really saying, like, you're never going to get her back. Because he shows up on screen. He tells his guys to kill him. And then he ends up getting shot. You know, like, he's not there for very long. Kills him in the elevator. I liked it. I was like, good, that's what you get. But for me, the 5s on villains, it usually got to be like one guy that I could focus on that is like a great villain. Or if we were doing like Black Hawk Down, like one of those military movies where it's just like, man, these guys are killing everybody. No, they don't hear, but they're evil. Their whole thing of like kidnapping women for sex trafficking. This movie's kind of relevant now, even more than it. Well, maybe not even more, but just as relevant now as then. So I gave them a 4 only because I couldn't point to one guy who's like the main villain, but they're formidable. He got to go through them. They almost get him that one time. If that pipe, if that freaking thing didn't break off, he would have been dead. I liked them. So I gave him a 4.
I agree with everything you said. There's not much villains in here. I mean, there's a lot of villains, but not that big syndicate head that runs everything. Which, you know, this movie, I wish it spawned into that. Like, I thought that, and again, I'm not talking about 2 and 3, because 2 and 3 are like, each of those movies are different. But what I mean is that I wish this movie Take-In was about that, like them taking girls or whatever. He saved his daughter, but now Brian Mills and his friends have to go and end this all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's on the hunt looking for the head guy who runs all this shit, so no one, you know, losing the daughters and all this crap. I think it would have been a fun thing because you could explore so many avenues. We'll talk about the other stuff that happens in the other movies, but I just felt like in terms of the villains, yeah, you're right. I felt like the villains were very pawny in this movie. Like, the guy says good luck, but within 45 minutes, he found him, right? He's like, hey, what is this word? And he laughs and he goes like, good luck. And he goes, hey, you don't remember me? I'm the one who told you. And then he kills everybody. And then it goes down the line, right? He finds his daughter. And then from the daughter, he runs to the boat. From the boat, he found the fat guy with his daughter. And then he's like, kills him and he gets him back. So like, I just felt like it was a video game. It was like chapter on chapter, right? You start off chapter 1, right? He's with his family. Chapter 2, the daughter can't kidnap. Chapter 3, now he's getting his skills
Brian
back.
Goes to Paris.
Brian goes to Paris.
He's like, hey, man, he got the bag of groceries.
Oh, that was mad funny. Yeah.
He got some bread and some leaves.
Yeah, so I feel like it's just a layer of top layer of like the bad guys till you get to the fat guy who's like laying in bed, which was weird and nasty. Yeah. Well, how did they know that was the daughter? You know what I'm saying? Like, they never knew her name. And he never said his name. They just said the father's here for the daughter. And miraculously, they got the woman that he's actually looking
for. Yeah, and there was like 3 of them. What happened to the other 2?
They threw their asses to the side. So anyway, that's just a little nitpick with script. But yeah, I will go with the 4 on this one too. I agree. I wish Marco was the last villain that he came up against. Because I wanted him to whoop that guy's ass so bad. I mean, he got it the worst, but not as some of the
other
people.
He's the one who got electrocuted.
Right? Yeah, but I wanted the ass whooping. He's the one who got tortured. And I was like, that's not enough for me. I wanted to see more torture.
Kill him more!
I wanted more. Yeah. Like, I mean, because the way I saw it was, if this guy did it to his daughter, imagine everybody else's kids that he did it to. True. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the mind of Brian Mills, he should have thought of that. Like, you know what? How many other children, parents that you made suffer? He goes, now is my turn.
You're gonna suffer.
And I told you I will find you. And I will now torture you. Here I am. He comes out like Ra's al Ghul in the dark. And now he's
like, amazing. He's like, I told you I will find you. And here I am. That would have taken this movie to the next level.
To the next level. He throws a knife right at his knee.
Oh, that would have been sick.
That would have been sick. Him coming to the dark. That was all. Oh, that would have been
maybe
so
in the
dope.
Remake. Maybe we in the inevitable remake. We'll do inevitable
remake. The guy's all knocked out and he's waking up from his knockout. And all you hear is like, wakey, wakey. Oh my god,
amazing.
That would have been so awesome. All right, well, four across the board there. Action sequences.
Okay, we're gonna get controversial here, maybe. I don't know, right. But let's see. I gave it a 3.
I gave it a 3. He's coming after you on that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I remember this having more action than what I watched. This movie, okay, to me, it functions more as a thriller with action in it than a straight up action movie, how I remember it. Okay, there is a lot of him just walking around getting information from people. He gets an interpreter. They sit in the car. He's getting information. He goes to see the old cop. He talks to him. He's getting information. There's no action in the first like half an hour at all. And it's only 90 minutes. So we're not talking about like a really long movie. There's no action for a while. I mean, you have the little fight at the beginning part, like with the pop singer or whatever. But like,
oh, yeah, yeah. That was pretty
very
cool.
Short. Very short. Yeah. And that's just to show you that he's, tough and he can handle himself. You get some car chases that are pretty good in the third act. But I don't like the way the action is shot in this movie. It's a lot of shaky Bourne style, like camera's going like this. He's fighting and flipping people over and they're shooting, there's like, it's good. It's good action. But I thought there was more and I thought it was better. So I don't know. That's why I was saying on the rewatch, I felt differently about this movie. I'm like, this is a really good thriller. This is a really good thriller. And it's a good action movie. So I gave it a 3. Ooh, I don't know. I thought it was going to be higher. But yeah, it's a 3 for me.
All right. Oof, I don't know what to say. I'm very shocked with the 3. I'm very stunned with the 3. But we got to be honest here. I mean, that's the whole point of this stuff. I mean, we rewatch it. And if we like it, we like it. We don't, we don't. And we got to be honest with each other here. And we honest to the people that are listening to us. I gave it a 4. I don't think it's a perfect action. And this is why. Well, let's go to car chases. Because I love car chases. It was one of my favorite things in action movies. I love great action sequences in cars. This was the most generic car chases I ever seen. I mean, well, second, because I forgot we did another movie that it was like mad basic. And I was like, oh, Lord. But this one he's chasing them through the dirt farm or whatever. It was like a construction site. And he's doing all that stuff. It wasn't as good. It was just them going in circles and he's throwing dirt on the car. They flipping over mountains. And I was just like, oh, this is not even, it doesn't get you hype. Yes, he saved the girl, which I was like, that sequence was pretty good when he's whooping their ass. He thought it was Kimmy. I was like, that's pretty cool. But when he got into the car, I was like, nah, kind of lackluster. It reminded me of Quantum of Solace. Remember when James Bond goes into that construction site with the car and they all shooting it up and he's doing like a 180 here and he knocks him off the stupid thing. Yeah. Like, it reminded me of that. Like, it was very fast-pacing camera shooting, but it wasn't like, oh, like you're like balls to the wall car chase. I mean, there's a Jeep Cherokee versus all these other Ram trucks and everything. So it's not like as fun and crazy, which I know I'm going to get killed and people are like, ah. But the hand-to-hand fighting, I totally agree with you. It's very fast cuts. And I think this is the franchise that started that fast cut when he slaps someone and it cuts to the floor to show that he's like, I mean, when they do that stuff, it's to show that the actors are not as fast or they're slow. And he's old at this time, too. I mean, he's not super old like Clint Eastwood, but he's a little older doing his action sequences. So you can see that they were fast pacing it. But I didn't like the camera work at all. I think the sequences were good and they did it smart. A lot of it was all hand to hand close ups. So it kind of worked and hit a lot of his faultiness. The shooting stuff was great. He did great with the shooting stuff. I mean, he's really good with the gun. So it's not like he's horrible. Hand to hand, I liked. I love the concert scene. I thought it was pretty cool. It showed his awareness and attention to detail, like I said. I mean, that guy showed up with a knife and he disarmed him in 2 seconds and jumped in the car with the girl. Thought that worked. When he beats that guy's ass when he saw Amanda, I thought that was pretty cool. But, well, that's kind of story. I'll tell you about that. But yeah, I agree. I gave it a 4. I thought it was great, but it wasn't spectacular. I kind of agree with you. Oh, and then in the boat at the end. Okay, so he jumps onto the boat, and this is the problem I got, Nate. He drives his awesome, awesome Audi A8. I mean, great, but it's not a car chase. Technically, it's a car boat chase because he's trying to get to the boat and try to beat it before it goes away, right? Dope scene. He jumps off the bridge, rolls, kills the guy in one action, in like one swoop move, kills the guy. But then he starts limping. And I'm like, why are you limping? I was like, first of all, you did a perfect roll. So you technically knew how to land from high places. So you didn't hurt yourself. Like, where the hell are you limping from? So, and he didn't get shot towards the end when the guy was shooting all over the place with the machine gun. He got shot in the side rib.
Which but they I'm never like, acknowledge. Like, he's kind of fine.
No, he didn't. He was doing hand to hand like nothing. I was like, geez. Yeah,
he walks right through it.
Yeah. So I felt, and that's the point where I deducted it because I felt like that ending was like kind of quick. It was just like, let me get through the boat, and he's like killing dudes, pow pow. And I'm like, okay, I understand the stealth shooting, cool. If you had like 30 dudes in the boat, it could work. Yeah. It was like 8 dudes in the boat. He knocked them all out with a gun.
The best kill on the boat is the first one when he jumps off, does the roll, and like goes right into a choke on the
yeah
guy. That's the and best
like,
one.
It is. Everything else is just like, I felt it was sped up. And then when he killed the fat guy, I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, because the daughter finally got to see what he really does. she was like, you came for me.
I'm like, starts to say something, he just shoots him. He's like, nope.
Yeah. Like, he's like, we couldn't have got. Blah. He just shot him in the head. But anyway, I mean, I don't want to sound like very negative on
like
it. Because yeah, Nate, today he's negative Nate. But I don't feel like, I just feel like the movie has great action, just not that spectacular where I remembered it being. I agree with you. I remembered it being like awesome, but same. It wasn't there. Wasn't there. But I gave it a 4, though.
Maybe it was my disappointment though that gave me it. I remember could there be being more, and there's not. So I don't know.
Maybe we hyped it up on ourselves thinking, wow, this is Taken, and I remember being awesome, and then when we rewatched it.
This is the beginning of Liam Neeson, action man. And then it's like, well, he's also walking around talking a lot in this,
yeah,
this movie.
I agree. Yeah. But I do agree, though, when he shot the wife was pretty good. He says, tell your wife I said sorry.
Yeah, he's like, apologize to her for it. You go tell her. You're still in the apartment. Just go that's tell true her sorry.
You could have just said.
What if he shot the kid? What if he would have shot the kid and go to the room? And
oh, that would mess up.
I shot your kid in the foot. You better tell me what I want.
That would have been messed crazy up. Okay, storyline.
All right, we're going to go back up a little bit here. I do think the storyline here is very good. I gave it a 4. Again, I think they did a good job with the backstory of our main character. There's just the reason this is not a 5, and this happens in all of these movies, these like Luc Besson produced, you know, written type movies. Something about his writing for me, it's everything is just so not basic, but kind of like
bland.
Basic. Yeah, it's very by the numbers, right?
Yes, safe.
Yes, very, 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 very. It's like, okay, this guy's good. These people are bad. A, B, C, D, E. Like, you really, even if you've never seen this, you can kind of figure out exactly what's going to happen, right? Mm. There's not a lot of twists. I mean, his friend being corrupt, it is, I guess, but it's not because of the way the guy acts the whole time. Like, as soon as they meet, he's like, I'll put a tail on this guy. Blah, blah. It's like, okay, so he's like, you know, not really. Because I don't even remember that character. When I rewatched it, I was like, I don't even remember this guy.
Jean-Claude, no.
Yeah, so it was like watching for the first time. And even I knew, like, okay, he may not be in on it, but something's up with him. So even that kind of stuff, like, there's no real twist. However, I think the plot is strong, which is why I still gave it a 4. Like, it's a good setting. It's a good, I like the world. I like the world. I mean, I don't like sex trafficking, but but it is a good setting for a film like this, right? Yeah. Like, a daughter gets kidnapped, the dad got to go get him. He's special forces. You know, I do like all that stuff. So I did give it a 4, but it could have been a 5 if it was just sharper. Like, if there was something in it that was like, the writing was a little sharper, the dialogue was a little sharper, it wasn't predictable. But as such, I still think it's good. I gave it a 4.
So, okay. So I had some problems with this movie. I give it a 4, by the way. I mean, it's just my negative nitpicks. It's just me when I watch movies and stuff. One of them is Amanda's death scene. I felt like it wasn't as grand as I thought it would be, because he literally just fucking left her in the bed and left. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, this is your daughter's best friend. Most likely you knew the parents of this girl. And he literally just left her on the bed and said, this is now my daughter, gotta go. So unless he's blaming her
to he going to Paris. For taking the daughter.
Yeah, so he's like, you know what? This is your fucking fault. So maybe. That I could see, but that to me, I was just a little bit weirded. You know what I mean? I was just like, oh, okay. He's like, Amanda. And then she's dead. And he was just like, all right, later. The marriage between him and the wife, I felt like that should have been more, a little bit more dynamic in a sense of we were laughing, but he should have told her off. Like, you know what? You forced me to sign this thing knowing that my skills, I was all over the world. And I know what happens in these places. And you guys still didn't believe me. Or give it a foreshadow. Him saying, you know, Paris is known for sex trafficking. You know, you don't want to get caught up with the right people or whatever. And it foreshadows. And then you'd be like, oh, damn. Like, he knew all along. I agree. It's a very bland story. See, Luc Besson, and I said this before, I'm not a big fan of his writing. I'm not. I did not like Lucy at all. While Scarlett Johansson did a great job in the role, I just did not like that movie at all. We did the review on it, and I never watched it since that review we did it. Just don't like those movies. I know we did another Louis Besson movie. Didn't we?
We did The Fifth Element.
Yeah, that one we liked a lot.
That's a classic. But it's weird. But yeah. It is weird. It's super weird. Is. His writing is
weird. It's a very weird, like, it's Transporter, a very, like, Transporter 1 was good, but then it just starts to fall apart. Which is, then again, I hope it doesn't go down the line with Taken. Because he's known for that stuff. But yeah, I agree. He's a very bland writer, whereas nothing, this movie needed more plot twists here and there. I personally believe it needed more of a twist. Maybe Amanda was in on it. I don't know, whatever. You could have did something in a sense that you go, fuck, like, this dude did all this. Or maybe she died at the end. Like, why does everyone have to survive? Like, that's one thing I loved about 24, the TV show. You don't know who lived or died. It wasn't like, it's one of those things that just happened for the story's sake. Like, he could have did all this stuff and she dies at the end. Like, you know what I mean? And maybe that's what gets him and his friends to bring down the sex trafficking syndicate in Taken 2 and 3. Like, he just goes on a rampage, which I would have loved. Like, you know what? He took his daughter. Now it's on. Yeah. But they didn't do that. He saved. And I felt like, you're right. It felt very safe. Everything was just so, it was just so planned out. I don't know. It's like, again, watching it, I had daughters. I was mad emotional when she got, like, not crying, but I was getting really angry because this dude literally told her, don't go. But I mean, as a father, if I was him and I had those skills, I still would have went to Paris. And would have went across the street.
I would have went anywhere. Wife. I'm like, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, I would have went anywhere. I'm like, with those set of skills, oh, geez. I mean, and you know what? The stepfather, think about this, Nick. This is where...
Stuart?
Stuart, right?
Yeah.
Rich guy, right? Private jet. And the daughter flew commercial. But Brian Mills went Paris. He went to Paris on a freaking private jet.
I kind of like Stuart, though. Like, as far as, like, a kid, I do like that. He's, like, very cordial. Hey, Brian, you didn't come eat lunch with us? Like, he seemed like a nice guy. I don't even
know. No, he didn't look like a douche. Like, no, he didn't.
In most of these movies, they make the new husband be like a douchebag. You know what I mean? And yeah. Nope, he was nicer than Lenny. Honestly, he was nicer to Brian than she was. He's just rich.
Yeah. She treated him like crap. I was like, oh my God.
She's like, you gotta go put the present over there and go home. And Stuart's like, you wanna come to lunch?
My favorite scene is when he gets to the party and the security guard is like, and you are? And he's like, I'm here. I'm the father.
I'm
the
dad.
Thinker.
Yeah, you're not on the list. What the
heck? Yeah. He looked like he was going to drop that thing and whoop his ass. He's just like, I like that. And you know what it is? Liam Neeson, I think what worked for him in this role is his voice. His raspy voice is just so iconic and unique. It fits this character. Like, I can't see no one else playing him unless they remake it. And sure, okay, great. But that voice is going to always be iconic. Like Ra's al Ghul. Like, when he talked as Ra's al Ghul, you're like, holy crap. But yeah, very unique. Anyway, 4 across the board here on this. Okay, overall.
Okay, well, you know, you made a lot of good points there. Uh-oh. during the story. You made a lot of good points there that I agree with. I gave this movie a 3. I liked it. 3 is not bad for me. You know, 3 is good. Yeah. It's just good. It's not great as I thought it was good, as I thought it was when I was 21. There's a lot of stuff like that. Okay, the stuff we didn't talk about in those categories. Like, I don't think the direction is that great in this movie. I agree with you. I like some of the close-ups on the dialogue scenes. I especially like it when she's under the bed. She's talking with him. And that's cool. But other than that, I don't think the action scenes are filmed extremely well. I think a lot of the parts are, like, a lot of the dialogue is goofy. And, like, the way it's shot is kind of goofy at times. I'm like, So I don't think it has, like, amazing direction. I don't think it has great dialogue. It has a good premise. It has a great lead character, and those carry it. And it has enough action to get you through. But, like, I don't know. Something about it, it just didn't hit. It didn't hit hard for me this time. I was like, okay, it's fine. Like, it's a fine movie. It reminded me why I never rewatched this movie. There's, you know, when you watch a movie and you're like, oh, that was really good. Let's say you're watching at home. I go to the theater, whatever. You're like, dang, that was really good. But you don't have a strong desire to be like, I want to put that on again. But you don't know why. That's taken from me. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Like, I really liked it when I first saw it. But for some reason, my subconscious was like, did you really like it? And it's like, yeah, okay, maybe I just liked it regular. And I think that's how I feel about this movie. Like, I think it's solid. If you've never seen it, I would recommend it. Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't even think it's one of honestly, I think he's made better movies after Taken. Like, I like some of the other ones we've done already here and some that we haven't done better than this movie. So I gave it a 3, which I'm surprised with, but it is what it is.
Well, it's very interesting, right? Because, again, I had a lot of problems. Not a lot of problems. I just had some nitpicks. Oh. And again, we don't do directional. We don't do, like, production.
No, I put it in the overall. Talk. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this. I give it a 3.5.
Oh, but we're not that far apart.
Yeah, I give it a 3.5. Yeah. Is it a movie that I would watch it again? I'm not saying that I would never watch it again.
Sure.
I will even say this. If it comes out with a 4K, I would pick it up. Because I did enjoy this movie. I thought it was really good. But with that said, if there's never a 4K, I'm okay with it. Like, and again, I'm not going to rewatch. Again, it's just super hard for me. And especially with the tone of, you'll see when you have a kid. Hopefully, if you get a daughter, right? If your first kid is a daughter and you rewatch Taken, I guarantee you're going to go, yeah. it hits very different. You're like, okay. And I'm not saying because you don't have kids. I'm just saying, certain movies elevate the drama, the suspense, once you have kids for some reason.
Sure, whereas, because more relatable. That's why.
Yes, very relatable. And then you start thinking, like, damn, if my daughter goes to Paris, like, would I really let her go? like you start thinking, like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, her ass gotta be like 18 or 21 or take her mom or something. But it's genius plot line, because it hits the notes on parenting and shit that really happens, right? Like Hostel. You go to Hostel, right? Like that movie Hostel, they take you and then they start porn torture you and all that crap. So you're like, holy hell. But honestly, I think it's a 3.5. I just think the action, I mean, honestly, if they could remake this movie, I'll be okay with it with an action director. Like my man Paul Berg.
Anthony Fuqua. I think this is ripe for a remake, because the plot's still relevant. Sex trafficking is still a thing, probably more so than ever. Give me a younger lead, slightly younger though, because they do have to be like, they have to have a teenage daughter and they have to be retired. So, and give me a better director. I agree with you. I'm not an advocate for remakes all the time, but this could use one. I don't see how it could be like much worse.
I'm telling you, you could do it. Anthony Fuqua.
Okay, Antoine Fuqua.
I mean, Antoine, my bad. Antoine Fuqua, right? Or Paul Bird, because we like Paul Bird. I think he'll be good. James Mangold, I think, would be another good one, because he's a serious action director. So I think that would work under him.
He's good with drama, and he could do action.
Yes. Ridley Scott, Tony Scott. Well, Tony Scott died. But Ridley Scott, I think, would do a pretty good job, especially with the landscape designs and everything.
Now, Tony Scott would have nailed this the first time. They should have just hired him in 2008.
Oh, he would have did a great job with this. And the difference, Kill Kim at the end of the movie and just spawn into a big franchise of him just hunting these motherfuckers down. The Liberians or whatever. The Liberians.
Back to the Future.
He's going to libraries and killing everyone. Oh my God. No, but that would be epic for me. But anyway, with that said, I think that in the landscape, great movie. I think it would be warrant for a little soft reboot. and I'm okay with it. All right, total points.
Total points for me, 19 out of a 25. It's still a good score, right? I mean, yeah. I'm almost out of 20. Like, I think it's a good movie. But again, I think now as an adult, I look at it more as a thriller with action than like a pure action movie, in my opinion. But I like it.
I give this movie a 20.5. I think it's, like, again, it holds up. We can't say it don't. It literally, because of the tone and the moral, not the moral of the story, but like the everything that's happening in the movie, you're absolutely right. It is so what's going on right now in the real world that makes this movie hold up very well. Like, I think it to me, it personally did. I told my wife, I said, I can't believe it's been ages since I seen this movie and it still holds up, but it has some problems that I had. But other than that, I like I said, I could watch
this.
You
know, it would have been funny. I don't know why I just thought of this, but it would have been funny if you guys, did Angelina watch this movie with you?
No, she was working. No.
Oh, it would have been funny if y'all were watching it together. And then because you have daughters now and it's relatable, you just got mad at her for letting your daughters go to Paris, even though they haven't even.
You're like, how could you let them?
She's like, what are you talking about?
Now I gotta go out there and find them. I gotta use my YouTube skills.
That would have been so funny. I would have died laughing. Like, I got mad at my wife because our small daughters, she's gonna let them go to Paris when they get older. This movie's relatable.
Very relatable. All right, Nate, what's coming up next on the podcast? Right.
Coming up, we got, we're continuing on with our female-led action month, where this is the halfway point because we got five movies this month. Angelina Jolie, the queen of action movies as far as actresses? I don't know. I mean, she got heavy hitters. We're going to be doing Salt, the movie that Alex swore we did that we never did. We're finally getting to it. And then, of course, next week, we continue on with the Taken franchise with the incredibly titled Taken 2. No subtitle, no clever, nothing, just Taken 2.
All right, guys, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/action movie guys. Subscribe, leave some comments, hit that like button on your favorite episodes. And of course, you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast providers. And of course, if you guys want to follow Geeks and Flicks, head over to TikTok and Instagram and follow Geeks, the letter N, Flicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.